Hello and welcome to the HMEB podcast. I'm your host, David Cuff, the executive editor of HME Business, your source for news, trends, and insights into the home medical equipment industry. Today, we're talking about a topic that up until the COVID-19 public health emergency wasn't at the top of the list for HME providers, but it is now a very prominent topic at hand, and that is telehealth. And here to talk about that are two experts directly from the industry. We've got Dr. Scott Martin and Maxine Paul. Dr. Martin is the medical director of telehealth clinical evals, and Maxine Paul is the vice president of operations for telehealth clinical evals. Dr. Martin, Maxine, welcome to the podcast. It's great to have you here.
Thank you very kindly, David. Sincerely appreciate your time.
Thank you, David, for your time today. And we're happy to be here to talk about this important subject.
Likewise, and great to have you guys here. Okay, let's dive into today's topic by first providing some context to our listeners about you and your background, because I think what you're doing at Telehealth Clinical Evals really speaks to the topic. So Maxine, why don't you share a little bit about the background of Atlas and Telehealth Evals and sort of the genesis for the services you guys provide?
Sure. My husband and I, Bill Paul, have been in the CRT DME space for, 30 years, and we exited our CRT business in 2017. We currently own Atlas Enterprise Software, which is a DME CRT software company. Mm-hmm. And when COVID hit in 2020, providers were struggling to service their clients. So most of the doctor's offices were closed. Providers were not seeing patients. I mean, and everybody was hit at the same time, fear of being contaminated, everything kind of went to a complete halt. So one day I was reading the CMS newsletter in the very beginning, and I noticed that they were going to approve telehealth. And I said, oh my gosh, this is great. What would I do if I was a provider in this space and during this time? And I think it's important for DME companies and CRT companies to be ready to evolve into new ways, new journeys. So I reached out to Dr. Martin, and who is a doctor of physical medicine, and I asked him if he could help, because there were so many patients that were not going to get their equipment. And he was gracious enough to, give some of his time and see a couple. He said, I'll try it. But in July of 2020, he decided he wanted to take it nationally. So we formed Telehealth Clinical Evals, and we added trained doctors, therapists, and so far we've seen many patients and helped patients all over get their equipment.
Maxine, let's do a level set. Have HME providers utilized telehealth efficiently and effectively so far?
Gosh, David, I hope every provider has looked into it. This is the most efficient way to help their clients currently. It's not a fix-all for everyone.
Yeah.
For the majority of clients and caregivers, it's been a blessing. And for the providers, and especially the early adopters, it's been a lifeline.
Yeah.
We can see clients for most equipment, and the majority of our evaluations are CRT equipment, cushions, modifications, equipment repairs. We kind of look at it as a team approach, where we have the doctor and or the therapist, we have the ATP, we have the patient all together on the video conference. We can collaborate and finish this report together and eliminate the back and forth corrections. We have the paperwork back to the provider in days. I've been in this industry a long time, and I've never seen the evaluations and deliveries go this fast. Most of the providers we're helping are delivering equipment under 30 days, which is unheard of.
Oh, wow. That's pretty good right there. I think that's a turnaround everybody can get with. So you touched on this earlier, but maybe we could dig a little deeper. Has the COVID-19 public health emergency changed how HME providers have looked at telehealth and maybe how they've implemented it?
I believe so. I think it's an awareness and an eye-opener. Before, the pandemic was really for rural areas only. I believe they see this as the only blessing that came from this pandemic. it helped them to be essential where so many other industries were going out of business. Clients were staying home due to the fear of infection. And so it provided a safe, effective solution for the clients not to miss their doctor appointments or PT visits. We hear a lot from the providers that they have seen an increase in referrals because the providers can provide equipment faster. And most of the therapists, you know, and doctors want to see their patients get the equipment faster. And if, you know, they're promoting this type of practice, the therapists and doctors are happy to turn it over because it's so much paperwork. You know, they struggle to get the corrections and things like that. So they can see that this is a win-win for everyone, including the, you know, mostly the patient. It's also helped with the windshield time, gas prices. I mean, they can avoid trips, especially if the clients don't qualify for equipment. It saved them a trip or multiple trips going back and forth to the house. They join with us and we're able to see the patient in their home environment. And it's just a win-win.
Dr. Martin, what are some of the areas that HME providers can increase the use of telehealth?
Well, David, what I'll tell you, just to kind of frame the question a little bit and give you insight, I'm a physical medicine rehabilitation doctor, meaning that I was trained in spinal cord injury. I was trained in stroke, traumatic brain injury, orthopedic injuries that required inpatient hospitalization after surgery. And the problem with all of these major injuries are that you have a patient with desperate need going home with a family who has no idea what that patient needs. You know, that may be a patient who is 80 years old, broke a hip, and is going home to San Francisco, and they live on the third floor with no elevator, and they've got to get mom up three flights of stairs, just to get her to her flat. And so when you're looking at home equipment and when you're looking at what a patient needs, unfortunately, because we've done such a great job with medicine over the past 50 years, patients are living longer. And because they're living longer with a lot of disease processes, and they get very sick. And so it isn't as simple as somebody going home with a fever and they need, you know, some oral antibiotics and maybe bed rest. No, I mean, these are very, very sick people who have very high medical requirements, and you have a relatively uneducated population who's completely unprepared for how sick, you know, mom suddenly got over the weekend at, you know, whatever, a Thanksgiving holiday party, or she had a stroke or something else, or fell and broke a hip. So some of the challenges are that when you leave the hospital, there's a kind of a general idea for what a patient will need. But until you really get home and you assess the home, you really have no idea what these folks need. Now, yeah. I was a physician for, I've been a physician for now 19 years. And when you're sitting in the office and you've got 35 patients to see, and or you're rounding at the hospital and you're seeing your second patient for the day and you've got another 35 to round on just this morning, you have absolutely no insight into what a client's home environment's like. Telehealth has bridged that gap, and it's allowed us to interview a patient and the family in their own home and get a real concrete understanding for what that home dynamic is like, not just for the patient, but for the caregivers, because in all honesty, patients are only going to do as well as the care they have at home and the equipment that caregivers have to assist that loved one at home. So, I mean, there is just night and day. Think about it like this. You walk into a restaurant and you order a meal, and there's no menu, and the chef has no idea what you ordered, but the chef has to prepare you your favorite dish without any insight into, you know, the fact that you didn't see a menu and they have no idea what you ordered. So this is kind of what we deal with as providers when we're trying to, just based on historical facts and no personal details whatsoever, order equipment for, you know, a patient. Hospital beds are lovely. Hospital beds are also extremely heavy. And sometimes you can't get them in a home because the front door is only 26 or 20 inches wide.
Yeah.
You can't get them in the elevator because there is no elevator. Let alone carry that up, a crazy flight of stairs and simply not be able to get it there. So, you know, some of these challenges get completely eliminated when you actually have that window into a patient's life and into their caregiver's life, and you can see exactly what's going on in the home.
Maxine, what are some regulatory changes or challenges that might be coming regarding telehealth that HME providers need to be aware of?
Currently, David, this is a moving target. I would say that we just need to keep looking at regulations. There have been a few extensions. Most of the time they're announced just before the deadline.
Yeah, I noticed that.
I don't think anybody knows. It's just we're just sitting here waiting for direction. But I believe it just depends on the variants that are coming out or any new outbreaks of COVID, or if it goes away at all. There is a CMS website just for telehealth, and I would recommend all the providers look at that on a regular basis just to stay aware of what's happening.
Okay, and how do the listeners find that?
Yes, they can Google CCHP COVID-19 telehealth coverage policies, and they can also sign up for the newsletter that will come to them weekly to give them the current events.
Oh, there you go. And then also, they could go to the cchpca.org website and probably use the search function there as well.
Yes, perfect.
So let's dive into how your company is helping HME providers leverage telehealth. Could you tell us more about telehealth clinical evals and how you all have catered to both the complex rehab and HME market?
When we started telehealth evals, we started with a very simple paradigm. There was a need in the market. It was the middle of COVID. Patients were not going to the doctor's office. Doctors weren't going to the hospital. And so you had patients that had profound needs because patients didn't stop getting sick over COVID. In fact, many of them got much more sick. So now you had profound respiratory diseases. You had profound complications due to diabetes. You had more strokes. You had heart attacks. You had all of these medical issues that in many ways became much more acute because patients weren't getting regular care. Patients weren't going to the hospital. They weren't seeing their doctors. They weren't coming in for monthly follow-ups. They were basically being treated at the ER with acute injuries or acute illnesses because they hadn't had any follow-up. Heck, some of them just didn't even go to the pharmacy and get their medications because they feared getting COVID just stepping outside of their home. So they very literally wouldn't fill their medications for diabetes, their thick blood, and they would have these acute events. And so imagine, if you will, the logistical challenge of having a patient that hasn't seen a doctor in 4 or 6 months, just had a stroke, we'll use stroke because we saw it so much over COVID, or just got better from COVID and was on a ventilator for 3 or 4 months. And then was in the hospital for another 2 months and are completely debilitated. They have no muscle mass. They can't even sit up. And now you've got, a daughter or a son or a family that now has to care for that patient and somehow accurately get an idea for what that patient needs. Well, we were seeing these patients for wheelchair evaluations because a lot of them were having acute events. And at the time we were doing these wheelchair evaluations, we saw this massive need. These people were, some of them literally sleeping on mattresses on the floor with horrible, horrible bed sores. They had no home medical equipment. None. They didn't have shower chairs. They didn't have hospital beds. They didn't have low air loss mattresses. Some of them didn't have just simple transport chairs to be able to get in and out of the house. A power wheelchair is great, but some of them are 400 pounds. You're not going to put that into, you know, a Prius. That's not going to happen. So the breadth and the scope of need was so apparent to us because we were seeing all of these patients, and sometimes we were the only people to have seen them for months, other than, you know, the folks at the hospital.
Yeah.
You know, we reached out to, you know, some of our durable medical equipment providers, and we said, look, there's a massive need here. You know, can you fill this need? Can we help you in that regard? Patient doesn't need to go in to see their primary doctor. Patient doesn't need to go in to see their physical therapist. Patient, you know, can actually be seen remotely by, you know, one of our trained physicians and, if necessary, a physical therapist at the same time in their home. They don't have to get exposed to COVID again, potentially get repeat COVID. They don't have to try to get out of the house when nobody really wants to leave in the middle of a pandemic. You know, they don't simply have to get up and get dressed after having a stroke, which can be a 2-hour ordeal for somebody who's essentially paralyzed on one side of their body.
Yeah.
So from a logistics standpoint, from an efficiency standpoint, it was profound. You know, if a client needs, say, a hospital bed, traditionally that can take 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks to get a client a hospital bed, just based on the orders, the approvals, the insurance. We could get patients hospital beds, you know, some of this equipment, you know, at times within 48 hours, because we consolidated the entire ordering process. We consolidated the entire information process. So it was all clean. It was all concise, and it was all in one place. So you didn't have records, you know, strewn across 3, 4, 5 different providers' offices. It was all centralized. So from an authorization standpoint, whatever was needed was in one place. So the same efficiency that we brought to patients and we brought to their caregivers, we actually brought to the data collection side of the business to be able to be that much more efficient for patients and for their families.
Maxine, do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, I mentioned earlier that we do a lot of complex wheelchairs, mainly because we know a lot of CRT providers and they're aware that we're doing this now. And we have doctors of physical medicine, we have neurologists, PT, OT on staff. But we've also seen a lot of patients need CPAP supplies, hospital beds, shower chairs, et cetera. We're very flexible. We're unlike any other physician group. We understand the urgency of getting the equipment, and we can move pretty fast, David. And to help, we help move orders same day if requested. So we really have seen thousands and thousands of patients that have needed this equipment and have been able to provide. So it's been a godsend for sure.
There you go. There you go. Dr. Martin, do you see telehealth continuing to grow in the HME space?
You know, it's interesting. I would have said very early on in the pandemic that telehealth was going to be popular, that patients were going to like it. I can tell you what, we are inundated with providers calling us, asking us if they can assist with evaluations. I think people really have kind of lost perspective for what it is to be a doctor. I mean, what it is to be a doctor who's ordering some of this equipment is essentially, you know, saying goodbye to any semblance of socialization, because you're going to wrap yourself up in textbooks for 27 years. and then, you know, you're going to spend another 4 to 6 years in training and get paid less than minimum wage at times, and sleep, you know, less than, you know, parents with a newborn, maybe twins. And then, you know, you're going to spend at least 12 to 14 hours a day in your practice. And then you're going to be on call at least every other weekend, if not every weekend. And Saturdays are going to be fun day, because Sunday you're back in the hospital, or you're back in the office prepping for Monday. So when COVID happened and some providers weren't able to go home and see patients by telemedicine, and they were actually able to see their kids get up, they were able to, you know, watch them walk out the door, prep breakfast, be there when their spouse left, and you know, give that hug or kiss, they actually felt human again. And things slowed down. You eliminated all the inefficiencies of being a doctor. You weren't driving from your office to the hospital, from the hospital to your office, from the office to a surgery center. You weren't doing any of that. There wasn't all of the ruckus between patients and rumbling of charts and, you know, being pulled in five directions in your office from four different nurses. You had a list of patients and you had a computer screen in front of you that you spend every evening on, you know, doing notes. And so it was remarkably efficient. And from a patient standpoint, patients adored the process. They didn't have to leave the warmth of their home, the solace of their home that didn't have COVID at the time. And it was just a much more personal interaction. And I think providers got a better insight into what patients' lives are like and how they're living. You know, I just take diabetes for an example. I mean, my wife's an endocrinologist. She started doing some telemedicine. Now, this doesn't exactly parlay itself into HME, but there are many diabetics with pressure sores, diabetics that need, you know, equipment to get in and out of the bathtub, diabetics that need hospital beds, the diabetics that also have, you know, respiratory issues, and they need respiratory supplies, either ordered or renewed.
Sure.
Because they have COPD or something else.
Yeah.
Patients come in and they say, oh, doc, you know, I've been incredibly good. I've not eaten anything bad. And, you know, you do a telehealth evaluation and they're sitting at the kitchen table and they've got a box of Krispy Kreme donuts next to them. And I mean, this isn't everybody, but I mean, you know, you get a pretty good window into, you know, well, I wonder why your blood sugars have been all over the place. And the medication
caught glazed handed.
That's it. Caught glazed handed. Exactly. But from an HME standpoint, you know, you also get that same window. You know, patient wants whatever, respiratory equipment. And, you know, we started to just do a few evaluations for sleep apnea. And sleep apnea is profound. And, you know, we see how people are sleeping. Heck, a lot of them aren't even sleeping in beds. They're sleeping in old broken down recliners or on the couch or on the floor.
Yeah.
And so it's no wonder they have poor sleep quality. You know, in the sleep apnea space, you're ordering supplies, you're trying to figure out if they're using the equipment correctly. You've left out completely the element of how and where they sleep. They sleep with the TV on, maybe they sleep with, you know, five or seven kids running around. There are other elements at play here. And so just simply ordering equipment is one thing, but as a physician, you know, whose job it is to try to preserve the quality of life, that telehealth evaluation where you get an insight in the window into how somebody lives, you can actually affect much more change than just simply reordering supplies.
So it sounds to me like, you know, listening to you, really what we're seeing is there's an interplay between the referring physicians and the HME providers and the, you know, the CRT specialists. And there's sort of this, you know, you can see where telehealth is really making things better for both those parties. And in turn, they're able to help the patient more with more specific and more applicable care and prescriptions, and that they're able to, you know, provision those care and, you know, DME prescriptions in a much easier way. Am I getting a better read, or am I getting a good read on that?
You know, it's a twofold thing, and I think we help in two critically important ways. Number one, we hear and we see and we know that, you know, you have a country that has overspent I mean, nobody can deny what inflation is right now. And everyone talks about the fact that, quote unquote, at some point, Medicare is going to run out of money. Well, Medicare is going to run out of money if the amount of fraud, but also the amount of inaccurate equipment continues to be ordered for patients. And so, you know, with all due respect, if you're sitting in your office and you have no idea how a patient is living in their home, you may have the best of intentions. You may have ordered the same equipment for the same patient with the same disease process 700 times in your professional career as a physician. But you know what? That has zero bearing on how that equipment is going to work in that patient's home, because so many patients live in such varied circumstances that there is no standardization. And so wherein, you know, one element may be, okay, we can absolutely get you equipment much more efficiently. We can absolutely not have you jump through all of the hoops and trying to get authorization for something that you desperately need, but because the people ordering it aren't familiar with Medicare guidelines, Medicare protocols, they're not answering the simple questions needed to get that equipment that you desperately require approved. We work backwards from Medicare guidelines to make sure that we're asking all the right questions so that whatever a patient needs, it is approved. But moreover, we're making sure that the equipment is appropriate so that we're not sending equipment into a patient's home that isn't going to be used, isn't going to be useful, or logistically is a nightmare and it just sits in the corner and it serves as another coat rack.
Maxine, Dr. Martin, this has been very informative. We've definitely talked about some really good applications of telehealth for HME providers. If our listeners want to learn more, how do they reach out to you guys to get more information?
Well, I think the easiest way for any patient, any provider, or any ancillary staff member that's looking to speed up and make more efficient and more accurate the HME process for their patients, you can certainly go on our website at www.telehealthyvals.com. Certainly our phone number's there. You're more than welcome to review that information and either reach out to us by phone or by email directly.
Maxine, Dr. Martin, thank you again for joining the podcast. This has been terrific information, and I think it'll resonate with many of our listeners. Thanks for being on the podcast.
David, humble pleasure. You have a very blessed day. Thank you kindly.
Well, thank you for having us, David, and sending the message out there to help everyone.
Okay, I think we'll wrap up today's episode. Thanks again to Maxine Paul and Dr. Martin for being on the podcast. Again, you can learn more about telehealth clinical evals at www.telehealthevals.com. Easy enough. That's telehealthevals.com. Now, before I sign off, I have a question. Do you want to help the HME Business Podcast reach more HME providers? Then take a quick second to rate and review this episode. Also, please, if you haven't already, make sure to click the subscribe button so that you get every new episode. Remember, you keep listening and we'll keep posting. And if you want to stay on top of everything that is happening in the industry, make sure to check out hme-business.com. Again, that's hme-business.com. And subscribe to eSource, our weekly e-newsletter service there. And if you haven't done so, make sure to subscribe to the magazine there as well. You can get that in print or as a digital flipbook, which is a great way to go if you want to take the magazine with you and save a tree. Again, that's hme-business.com. Of course, you can follow us on social media. We're at HME Business on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. And I'm at Postacute News on Twitter. Lastly, if you have any feedback, suggestions, or requests, don't be afraid to reach out to me via email at D as in David, K-O, P as in Paul, F as in Franklin, at 1105media.com. Thank you all very much for listening. We'll keep covering important HME business topics like telehealth. But for now, goodbye until the next HMEB podcast.